In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our why question for this morning is, why do my prayers go unanswered? Why do my prayers go unanswered? And I struggle with this one because it seems like more times than not, our God is silent. We don't get burning bushes anymore. We don't get loud winds and earthquakes and firestorms and wild, wild hurricanes that only affect one person. We don't get the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire like they say they used to. It's easy to question, why did my prayers go unanswered? Why didn't God hear me when it seems like our God is silent? And we get disappointed. It's part of the human condition. We get excited about something and we anticipate and we expect and our expectations get up. And when it doesn't happen the way we think it should, we get disappointed. I think the story of my own disappointment to the pinnacle and consequently another installment in the chapter of your pastor's behaving badly in her childhood. I remember one Christmas. I was raised with understanding that when it comes to Christmas time, there's even numbers of gifts under the tree. Especially for the kids and especially for William and I, because we were 13 and a half months apart. And so not only was it same number of gifts, it was similar. And God loved my grandmother. She had very little imagination, so when she was wrapping presents, the similar gifts were wrapped in the same wrapping paper. So you knew that the wrapping paper that was the green, dark green background with the lime green holly leaves and the red bows, those were supposed to be the match-up gifts. And in true sibling form, William and I would compare gifts. And God forbid, if one of us got one more present than the other one, again, we were close enough, we could have been twins. Anyway, Christmas, and it was, oh gosh, what was it, fifth grade or sixth grade? What was those preteen years? Bob, in the musical, doing the musical 13, here we go, stories of Pastor Christina's preteen years, opened my gift, and it was a Bible, which is pretty slick, and coming from Grandma, that's not bad, because, you know, she had a pillar in the Presbytery of Detroit, and pillar of all things religious, and I got a Bible, and this is excellent, because you have to remember, at this point, I knew I wanted to be a minister when I grew up. It was excellent until William opened his present and it was the box set of the Star Wars movies. I think the words that came out of my, I don't think, I know that the words that came out of my mouth were, what, he gets movies and I get a stupid book? How well do you think that went over in my house? About as well as a lead balloon. Anyway, we expect things and they don't happen and we get disappointed. It happens to all of us. It's part of the human condition. And sad thing is it happens in prayer too. We pray to God and we ask God for something and we expect that he's going to follow through. And then no. And we get disappointed, and I think that's true of every why question we'll cover this month. We expect God to work in a certain way, and when he doesn't work that way, we get disappointed and say, God, why couldn't you do it the way I wanted to do it? So the question, why do my prayers go unanswered, can be, it's that question answered with a question. In this case, it gets two. One, are your prayers not being answered? Okay, are they really not being answered? Is it because of how you are praying or what you are praying for? Or is it you are not listening? Is it how you are praying, or is it how you are listening? See, sometimes when we pray, you think, Lord, I'd like to win $1 million, or Lord, please let you know, whatever it may be. We pray expecting a miracle to happen exactly the way we think it should happen. We have it mapped out in our brain. This is how this is supposed to go. And we pray, God, I've got this plan laid out. Would you just go with it with me here? So sometimes it's how we pray, but that's where we have to remember that miracles by definition are supposed to be rare. So when we pray for the miraculous things, not that that's a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination, we have to be more open to understanding what form the miracle takes and what form the answer takes, because that takes to our second one. Are we actually listening, or are we only waiting to hear the answer we want? How many of our kids, nieces, nephews, students, whatever, have asked us a question and they do not listen and expecting the answer they want? Show of hands. Thank you very much. God answers prayer. I truly believe God answers prayer. He answers every prayer. The only problem is that sometimes the answer is yes or no, or my least favorite, not yet. And sometimes God answers prayer through other people. Here's a story for you. It says, a terrible storm came into a town, and the local officials sent out an emergency warning that the riverbanks would flood, and it would flood the nearby homes, and they ordered everyone in town to evacuate. A devout Christian man heard the warning and decided to stay, saying to himself, God will save me, and if I trust in God, and if I am in danger, God will send a divine miracle to save me. The neighbors came by his house and said, we're leaving and there's room for you in our car. Come on, we'll save you. And he said, no, I have faith that my God will save me. And so the car left. Flood water started to come up, and a man came paddling by in a canoe and said, hey, I've got room in my canoe. Come on, I'll save you. And the man says, no, I have faith that my God will save me. Thank you very much. Save your room for the next person down the line. Then finally, the water comes higher and higher, and he's up in the attic, and he's up on the rooftop, and a helicopter flies by. And the rescuer says, hey, down there, climb onto the rope. The floodwaters are rising, and I will save you. I will take you to safety. And the helicopter and the man waves him off and says, no, I have faith that my God will save me. Go rescue the next person. Well, sure enough, the house broke up and the man drowned. And he gets to heaven, and he's standing before God. He says, what gives? I put all of my faith in you. I believed that you would come and save me. Why didn't you save me from the floodwaters? And God looks at the guy and says, I sent you a warning, a car, a canoe, and a helicopter, and you didn't get the point. What that illustrates for us is that God sometimes answers prayer through another person. God works in this world through other people. We say it, I know I pray it every week before pantry. Remind us that we are your hands and feet in this world. It's true. God uses us. So when your neighbor comes knocking on your door and says, hey, yada, 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 are you listening for that to be the answer to your prayer? Or are you still waiting for God to come rescue you from the floodwaters? Unanswered prayers, feeling like prayer is unanswered, is not something new. We read Psalm 22 this morning, parts of Psalm 22. And while the translation this morning says, my God, why have you left me all alone? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my anguished groans? How do you really know that prayer? My God, why have you forsaken me? That painting right there, Jesus in the garden. Another experience of unanswered prayer. What did Jesus pray? God, I don't want to do it. In full humanity, Jesus knelt in that garden and said, God, I don't want to do this. If you can, take this cup away from me because I don't want to do it. But his prayer didn't end there. What did he say? But thy will be done. I truly believe that every prayer is answered. And yes, in some cases, we get miracles. But in so many other cases, we have to stop and listen. I think of how many times on the 2-year road it took for me to become, from when I applied to be your pastor to now, how many times the answer was not yet. I don't like not yet. Because, of course, the not yet answer gets followed up with what? Well, when? Sometimes God, in his answering our prayers with not yet, is saying, have patience, my child. You need to learn a few more things before I just give you what it is you are hoping for. What it is I have prepared for you, because you are not prepared for it yet. The old church custodian one time had heard on the news that the lotto was up to, I don't know, some exorbitant amount of money, 10,000 million, I don't know, lots of zeros after it. And every day when he'd come in to clean the church, he'd sit in the sanctuary and he'd look up at the cross and he'd say, please God, I could really use that money. Please Lord, let me buy it. Let me win the lotto. And they'd call the numbers and he wouldn't win. Well, nobody won, so the jackpot got a little higher. And so he came back in and he said, please, God, let me win the lotto. I could really use that money, my mother and whatever he was going to use it for. And again, he didn't win. And the third day, he says, come on, God, I could use that. I need a pick-me-up. And the voice of the Lord comes down and says, well, help me out and buy a ticket. Yes, God answers prayer, but we have to do our part too. Amen, amen. We have to be willing to listen. I imagine it's like taking earbuds or noise-canceling headphones off, where we're listening to the music in our ears, and we're saying, yeah, God, I could, yeah. And you can't hear what anybody else is saying. You can't hear God when your ears are plugged up with everything else. Everything else includes whatever your preconceived notions of what the answer should be is, which goes into how do we pray? Do we constantly pray, God, I need this. God, I would like this. God, please take care of this. God, please do this. Are our prayers looking more like the shopping cart on Amazon at Christmas time? Or should we maybe start praying like this? When I'm having a rough day or something really good is going on, really anything I want to share, I call my mom. It is not out of the ordinary for me to spend an hour and a half to 2 hours on the phone with my mom telling her all about it. Next time she comes to visit, y'all need to wear name tags so she remembers who's who because she's heard all of your names. She just doesn't know what your face looks like. Anyway, is that maybe perhaps how we should approach God in our prayers? When I'm feeling down and I'm, If I miss my Grandma Wilma for anything, it is this. If I could go back in time for any one thing, it would be this. I miss the times when I used to get to sit in front of my grandmother and she would brush my hair. Is it that comfort we should be looking for from God, whether we are happy or sad or mad or upset or joyful or whatever it is? Is it those comforting parenting, grandparenting arms that we should be seeking in our prayers? I know what kind of comfort, what kind of release, what kind of whatever you want to call it, I get it when I've been on the phone with Mom for 2 hours. I know how much better my life has been after a marathon hairbrushing session. Now, God gives in mysterious ways. He's now sent me a lovely niece who likes to brush my hair too, so that helps. But is that instead how we should be approaching our God? Instead of, I want, I want, I want, I want, should it maybe be, God, just hold me for a little bit? Just make it all better, God. Just let me sit on your lap and just kind of just be a little kid for a bit. Wrap me in those arms of your heavenly hug and just hold me for a little bit, because I'm feeling all alone in this world. And things aren't going my way. Do we pray, thy will be done, and are we willing to let him do it? Maybe perhaps the way to approach this is to quit thinking that he doesn't answer our prayers, but thinking, okay, how can I be more open to listening how he's answering my prayer in this moment? I'll be the first one to tell you, not yet is a horrible answer. It's a wonderful answer because it's got all sorts of opportunity for growth and all that stuff. But when you're hoping for the right now, immediately yes, it is disheartening to get the not yet. And I know that. And if you're honest, you know that too. But it's not just listening to how God answers your prayers, but answering the call to how God is answering someone else's prayer through you. Is God answering Bob Smith's prayer by sending Susie Jones to take him to go to the grocery store? Is God answering Christina's prayer by sending Jonathan to go help her? Are you the answer to somebody else's prayer? This week and in the weeks to come, as we get ready to do the whole back to school, back to program year, back to September, all of that good stuff, and the downhill through the burr months, September, October, November, December, as we get ready to get back into the busy time of life, I invite you to stop and pause and wait just for a half a minute and say, okay, am I listening to how God has answered my prayer? Am I listening for when God calls me to be the answer to someone else's prayer? I'll let you ponder that. Amen.